But if you have your Bibles, and you'll open with me to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. And I want to pray while you're turning there. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I humble myself to you this morning. Lord, I just ask you to take everything away that's me. Lord, use me as a vessel, Lord. Let your Holy Spirit speak through me. These are your words, Lord, not mine. Lord, just let me say what needs to be said this morning. Lord, Lord, I praise you. I thank you. Lord, I give myself to you this morning. Lord, I honor you this morning. Let nothing hinder your word being heard this morning. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Matthew chapter 5 kind of addresses some, you guys have probably read through, you've heard the Beatitudes, the Blessed Attitudes, the Tudes, whatever you want to call them. But, you know, people have attitudes. We all have an attitude. Sometimes they're good attitudes. Sometimes they're bad attitudes. We know people with bad attitudes, and we know people with good attitudes. And I heard some people talking about Ruthie, how her attitude was. And that was a good attitude. She had a blessed attitude. And, you know, I remember that as well, the attitude of some. And then there are some that we had. What struggles me the most is, you know, with the attitudes that we have, some of the worst attitudes I know come from people in the church. I'm sorry. Holy Spirit, help me this morning. I'll get in trouble. But I don't mean this to be negative or be hurtful. Excuse me. But it's true. But that hurts the church when people have a bad attitude. But you know, we all have it. Sometimes. I've had a bad attitude before. And it can affect my witness, is what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. My bad attitude can affect my witness. Not only can it affect my witness, but it can also affect my church family. See? Because if I have a bad attitude and I'm out, you know, away from the church, that attitude that I have affects my church. It does. So we have to be careful with that. And here we find Jesus just coming up to chapter 5. He was going all over Galilee teaching and healing people, and a great number of people, a big crowd had started to follow him. And so this great crowd just followed him around, and he came to this mountain, and he decided when he got there, excuse me, my voice is kind of going, but it says, starting in chapter 5, he said, "Now when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down, and his disciples came to him, and he began to teach them." The first thing I want to talk about this morning is there's a distinction here. The great crowds were following him, but Jesus went up away from the great crowds, and then his disciples followed him. And one thing I want to make a distinction here is how the disciples' desire was to follow him on up the mountain, but the great crowds kind of stayed behind. And sometimes I think we got thousands of people all over the world, thousands of people showing up to come to church, thousands of people coming to hear the worship music, thousands of people coming to hear a good word from the minister, but yet we don't have thousands of people showing up on Wednesday night prayer meetings. We don't have thousands of people showing up to Bible studies. We don't have thousands of people with this great desire to serve him or to have this closer walk with him. And I wonder, this distinction here, the disciples, are we really, remember I talked about being a true disciple? Are we really becoming that true disciple that desires to have more of God, to be closer to Him, to want to follow Him up the mountain so we can sit with Him and hear what He has to teach us? Amen? See, our church is in decline. Not just in the Nazarene denomination, but all over the world, our churches are in decline. Our Wednesday night services that used to be great are now in decline. Now, I want to say, I'm proud of our Wednesday night services here. I'm going to tell you, our Wednesday night services here are on the incline. Amen.
Amen.
And it's because of this desire. It has nothing to do with me, other than the desire to want more from God. And when people start desiring more from Him and want to follow Him up the mountain, it doesn't matter what the crowds are doing. You can have a church of 5,000 people. That doesn't mean anything. What does mean something is if you've got a crowd that is willing to go up the mountain. If you've got a crowd that has a desire for God, the desire to want to serve Him, to get closer to Him, because then God's going to bless you. And then it's going to be the blessed attitude that you have. Amen. Come on now. This is the desire I want to keep in my life. I haven't always had this desire, but God's put a desire in my heart that I want to serve Him. I want to be closer to Him. I want to get up every morning with the attitude that God is good. He is good. Doesn't matter what I do, He's still good. But God is good. There's a distinction there. Sometimes we get caught up in the crowd. And we lose that. We kind of get away from that desire, that hunger to want to know more, to learn more, to crawl up the mountain with Him. Because sometimes it's not easy to climb up mountains, is it? I lived in Colorado for a while, and I know what mountains are. We lived at about the place where I lived was at about 7,000 feet, which is pretty high. And the air was really thin, and it took me a while to get used to it because I was in good shape then. I thought I was Iron Man then, you know. But, man, when I got there, I felt puny. I mean, it took me a couple weeks to get used to the, you know, because it was just different. And it was hard to climb up the mountain. It wasn't like being in Bald Knob Hills, you know, where I'm used to, where I grew up, and in the hills there. But, sometimes it's not easy to climb up the mountain, but when we climb up the mountain, it shows God that we are dedicated to Him. We're going to follow Him. We're going to take up our cross and follow Him. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, the first attitude that we come to is, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed is the poor in spirit. You know, God wants us to humble ourselves. He wants us, this desire for Him, we have to realize that everything that happens to us comes from Him. And when we have a humble spirit, when we have this, you know, being poor means being a pauper, being, you know, we have nothing. Poor in spirit. The spirit comes, you know, if we're poor, we desire Him, right? I want Him every day. I need Him in my life every day. That's that poor in spirit. I need Him. The song, you know, the song that we sing sometimes, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. That's where I want to be. I need Him when I get up in the morning. I need Him when I put my shoes on. I need Him when I go to work. I need Him when I drive down the road. I need Him every day. I need Him every hour. Because without Him, I know I'll make a bad mistake. I'll make a wrong decision. I'll say something I'm not supposed to say. I'm telling you, this is what happens when we don't desire Him, when we're not poor in spirit, when we're not desiring Him and needing Him every day. I need Him. I really do. Going through all the things that I've gone through over the last 3 or 4 months, man, I need Him more. You know, I couldn't get up here and speak. I could not do this without Him in my life. I couldn't do it. And I shouldn't do it if I don't have Him in my life. Amen. I have to be in constant prayer. I have to be in constant desire. I have to be focused on Him every hour, every day. I praise Him. I praise His holy name. I don't, I'll mess up. I'm not going to get through all these this morning. I'm not. But where does this put us as a church? Do you need Him this morning? Is that your desire? Do you need God in your life this morning? Is that when you wake up every morning, you say, Lord, I need You to get me to work. Lord, I need You to get me wherever. I need You to get me to the kitchen or the recliner even sometimes. Amen. I need You just to get out of bed. Some days it's like that, isn't it? But do you need Him in your life? Are you willing to walk up that mountain with Him and sit at His feet and listen to His teachings? Blessed are the poor in spirit. Amen. The next one, it says, blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. We lost one of our members this week. And we mourn for her, for her family. But yet, we have faith. We know where she's at. Amen. Amen. But we still mourn. We're still sad when we lose somebody, right? We're still sad, and we should mourn for each other. We should mourn for each other. That's part of it. It's not a shame. I'm not ashamed to say I cry. You know, it hurts me. I feel, you know, I feel that, the pain. But also I feel a rejoicing in my heart because I know her faith has taken her to heaven. But we also have this obligation in our mourning. I mourn for the community of this, around this church. There's people that are lost. There's people that are destined for hell because they don't know Jesus. And I mourn for those people. I'm sad. Church, we have to be in a state of mourning for the lost. Hear me this morning. Our desire is to see people get saved. Amen. Amen. When a church has that, when a church desires for people to get saved, when they mourn, God will bless you. He said, blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. I think one of the problems that we have in the church is we've lost this desire to, let's see. I wrote some stuff down. I don't want to forget. I just had a couple notes here and I just didn't want to forget it. Going back just a little bit, I think a lot of us have lost our dependency. We've lost our dependency on God. We've lost that desire. I am dependent. I have to have that attitude that I am, that's my attitude, solely dependent on Him. Come on now. Sometimes we've stayed with the crowd, is what I want to say. And the crowd wants to say that there's a lot of this we can do on our own. I don't have to go up the mountain. I believe. Jesus will take care of me. I can do what I want. I don't have to go to church every time the doors are open. I don't have to be involved in Bible study. I don't have to be involved in Wednesday nights. I don't have to do all this. That's what the crowd does. But the ones that are dependent on Him are the ones that want more of Him.
Amen.
because they know what comes with that dependency. Listen to me this morning. We've become used to living without the miracles that God can give. There's a lot of people that don't even believe in miracles today. They don't even believe that God can heal. Because they've lost that dependency on Him. I believe this. They've set aside these. They've sequestered. I've used that word before. They've sequestered the Holy Spirit out of their life. They pushed Him aside. Instead of letting the Holy Spirit take control and just taking care of things in their life, they've said, no, I can do this part on my own. I need you here, but I don't need you here because I can take care of that. It doesn't work that way. We can't lean under our own understanding. What's the Scripture say? Lean not under your own understanding. Right? Am I saying that right?
Yeah.
Why? What I've learned about leaning is leaning, if you lean too far, you might fall over. Right?
You're leaning on Jesus.
Teddy's got it right there. Teddy's right. If we're leaning on Jesus, He'll never let us fall. Amen. If we're totally dependent on Him, He'll never let us fall. Amen. That's that desire. That's that attitude that we should have. These blessed attitudes or these be attitudes or be you this attitude. This is what we need to do. You be that attitude. And it's not that you can do it. You can give. Let's say, I can say it like this. You can give all the money, but that doesn't mean anything unless you are a giver. It's got to come from the heart. You can give all you want, but if you're just giving out of giving, that doesn't mean anything. But when you're a giver, when your desire is to give, then it means something and God will bless that. It doesn't matter how much you give. It just matters the matter of the heart. And what you give comes from the heart. God knows and He blesses that. Does that make sense? You know, when we give unto Him, if we give from our heart, it means more. We can do all the works that we want. Works mean nothing to Him. It's part of it. I don't want to get off track. It said, blessed are the meek. Meek, what's meek mean? Quiet, gentle, submissive. That's what it means. I know a lot of people that aren't that. Quiet, gentle, submissive. You ever put yourself... there's times in my life where I have to really say, okay, God, You have to be in control of this situation because this is not going to end well. Because I'm not quiet. I am not gentle. And I'm not submissive at times. But that's what God wants us to be. That's the attitude He wants us to have. He wants us to be meek. Why? So we'll see heaven. We'll see Him. That's why. He wants us that way because that's what helps the church out too. You get out here and you're not that. What's witness there? Honestly, think about that. Where's your desire at this morning? I don't want to get off track, but where's your spirit at this morning? Are you dependent on Him this morning? Where's your attitude at? Is your attitude for Him? Or is your desire to go up the mountain and see Him? To sit with Him? To be taught by Him? Is that your attitude this morning? If it is, man, you're with me. Amen?
Amen.
I mean, that's what... I can't say enough. I mean, you're speechless sometimes when you want to talk about God. Because the blessings that He's given, it's just, I can't explain. But if you don't know Him this morning, and maybe sometime in your life you've kind of left the dependency on Him and you want to get back to that, man, there's no greater time than now. You know, I don't know where you are in your Christian life. I don't know where you are in your walk. I know some of you. I know where you're at because I can see it in your actions and who you are. But you know what? You know, we all need Him. All of us. I don't care where you're at, whether you're the most saintly person in the church or you're just a brand new Christian. We're all dependent on Him. Every one of us. Every one of us. And I need Him every day, and I need Him more and more. Because it seems like Satan he doesn't like that. He wants to attack us, and he wants to make us sick, and he wants to, I don't know. These things happen to us. We get tested. I don't want to give Him any credit for anything, but I'm going to tell you, He does attack us. But if you don't know Him this morning, and you want a closer walk with Him this morning, I'm just telling you right now, there's no better time than right now than to give your heart to Christ. There's no better time than right now than to rededicate yourself to Him. There's no better time than right now than right now than to say, Lord, I need You. I need You every hour. I need You. And I want to be Yours. And I want to follow You up the mountain. And I want to sit with You. And I want to listen to what You have to tell me. If you're that person this morning, if you need more of Him, I'm going to ask you this morning, come forward. Make it this morning. Just come forward. I don't know where you're at. I'm not judging anybody. I'm just saying this morning is the time. Just come forward and let's pray. I'll pray with you. We've got some other people here that would be glad to pray with you. We're a family here. We pray with each other. We love each other. My whole desire is to see each and every one of us get to heaven. I do whatever I can. I do whatever I can to see every one of us get there. Amen. I just ask you to come this morning. Would you come? Dear Lord, I just praise Your holy name. Lord, I thank You. Lord, I thank You for Your word. Lord, I thank You for Your mercy and Your grace. And Lord, I know there's somebody here this morning that needs more of You. I need more of You, Lord. I need more of You right now. Lord, I just praise Your holy name, Lord.